Good morning. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up the mountain, and after he sat down, his disciples came to him, and he began to speak and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you, for the word of God in Scripture, for the word of God among us, for the word of God within us. Thanks be to God.
There was a young man who grew up in a town, a city, not New York City, but similar to New York City, you know, one of those places where it's always busy, there's always something going on, always feels like there's opportunities everywhere, right? Like everybody is doing something important. He grew up there, and he grew up, every time he would go to school, he would stop in the middle of town and just look at these huge buildings and know that important people were doing important things and feel proud of his city, that he was from there. He feel excited that someday he wanted to be a part of doing important things in these big, important buildings. He loved the musicians that used to play on the streets as people would walk around and throw money in a guitar case or stand and clap as they do a show. How you doing, bud? Hey, yeah, you just hang out. That's all right. Doesn't bother me. Just cruise around. Do your thing. He loved all of the activity and things that would happen around the city. But there was one thing that always just sort of like rubbed him the wrong way. There was this street preacher who was out almost every day, a street preacher who was out, and he would always preach the same message. And he never stuck around long enough to hear the whole thing, but it always began with, "Blessed are the poor." And this young man just always thought it was so strange. How could you, in the midst of everything that was happening around you, all these important people doing important things, how could you stand here and preach this, "Blessed are the poor"? Why would anybody want to be okay with being poor when there was just opportunities all around you, right? Why would you choose to not seize them? And so he would walk by every day, and every day he would hear this street preacher, and it just felt like this guy had no place. It was sort of antithetical to all of the creativity and all the spirit of this place that he grew up in. Well, eventually he graduated school, he went to college, he got a degree, and he started making a lot of money. He worked for a finance company, he started making a lot of money in one of these big important buildings. He felt big and important. He realized it was going to take a long time before he was important in his company, but he realized, he felt like he was contributing in some way. He was making lots of money and making other people lots of money. And then an economic crash happened. This was maybe around 2008. Bottom fell out, and he didn't do anything wrong. You know, he wasn't scamming people. No scandals. He had done everything he could to be good at his job and to do right by folks, but all of a sudden the money dried up, and he lost his job, and his investments weren't worth very much either. Lost his penthouse that he had been leasing, because, you know, in a big important city, real estate's pretty expensive. He couldn't afford to buy. Lost his penthouse, Had to move back in with his folks for a while, just till he was able to get on his feet. But he was feeling pretty down on himself, you know, he didn't understand what had gone wrong. How could this have happened? And really feeling like maybe nothing made sense anymore. And one day as he was going into the city to try to look for another job, and he heard this street preacher again saying, "Blessed are the poor." And for the first time he stopped, because all of a sudden he thought maybe what this guy was saying made a little bit of sense. Or if it didn't, at least it was something he wanted to hear more about. It was something he needed to hear. And all of a sudden, he started wondering, is this what this guy had always been saying? Or did something about his message change? Or was it just the fact that he was ready to hear it now? He needed this particular message now. Whenever I hear this, these Beatitudes, I think, if we're not in the right place to hear this, these may or may not sound like good news. Right? This comes from the Gospel of Mark, and what I had just mentioned, what the street preacher had been preaching on, was from the Gospel of Luke, where, the Gospel of I'm sorry, I said Mark. This is the Gospel of Matthew. The Gospel of Matthew begins the Beatitudes with, "Blessed are the poor in spirit." Luke begins by saying, "Blessed are the poor." Maybe that means the same thing. Maybe it feels like maybe it means something a little different. Either way, we can take these two things and hold them either in tension or hold them together. But if you're in a place where you're not feeling particularly mournful, or you're feeling celebratory, hearing "blessed are those who mourn" may just sound like kind of a downer. "Blessed are the meek." I'll tell you what, there have been times in my life where I did not feel meek. I felt angry. I felt righteously indignant for all the right reasons. I felt justified in my anger, but I did not feel meek. And there are times when I just wanted to brush over that one. "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst." Again, Luke's makes it sound a little more like maybe those who are hungry and thirsty. But in Matthew, hunger and thirst for righteousness. It is difficult to figure out how to hold those two in tension for me sometimes. How can I hunger and thirst for righteousness? Meaning, how can I be hungry and thirsty to make things right, but still be meek? Regardless of which gospel you're reading these words from, Luke's or Matthew's, gospel means what? Do you remember? Good news. Gospel means good news. And whether or not it actually sounds like good news to you may depend on whether or not, may depend on where you are in your journey with God, but really maybe just in your journey of life. Right? There are times when we feel powerful. It's a good feeling to feel powerful. What is power? Power, in my understanding, I believe, power is the ability to, power is really efficacy, the ability to make change over your own situation, right? To have control over your own circumstances. And maybe, depending on what kind of power you have, maybe power over the circumstances around you, right? Over other people's circumstances. Power is some level of ability to make change, either with yourself or around you, to decide what's going to happen to you. There are times when I feel powerful, and I'll tell you what, I don't always have to be in charge, but I don't ever want anybody else to be in charge of me. Does that sound fair? So there are times where I don't have to feel powerful over you, but I certainly don't want you to be powerful over me, right? And on those moments where I'm feeling powerful, it is hard for me to think about the possibility that God is telling me I need to let go of that power, that control. But once something happens like it did with this young man, where he had done everything right, but the bottom fell out, Or maybe some of us who grew up feeling strong, playing football, you know, doing whatever, but feeling strong, feeling big, and then either we get injured or we just maybe get older, because that happens. And we start to recognize we can't do all the things we used to do. And all of a sudden, maybe we start to feel a little more out of control than we were before. We start to recognize that that control, that power, it was always just an illusion. There's always somebody wealthier, somebody stronger, somebody with more control of their circumstances and maybe of your circumstances than you. And even if there's not another person, there's always a thing that happens that you can't control, right? It doesn't matter how well you prepare or how much insurance you have. When a storm comes, you can't stop it. Is that fair to say? You can have all the best flood insurance you want, and it's not going to stop the waters from rising and wiping out the things that matter to you if that's what happens. Right? Power and control are an illusion. And so messages like this, messages like the Beatitudes, they are waiting for us when all of the false promises and pretenses of the world around us fall apart, and we find that it no longer, that the world isn't offering us anything anymore. And we start asking ourselves, what is real? If the things that we've been offered our whole lives or told to reach for our whole life, once we find that that's all just smoke and mirrors, what's real? We find waiting for us at that low spot, this blessing. Now, there are moments in life where Scripture can feel so distant from us, thousands of years old. It is thousands of years old. And there are moments where it can feel very present with us. When we start seeing violence in our streets, when we start feeling out of control, now listen, folks, here's the thing. I believe, and correct me, maybe not right now, but correct me if you think I'm wrong. Come catch me anytime, after service, during the week, whatever. I think most folks at some point or another, whether it's right now or leading up to this moment in time, have felt as though their power, their control with the government, their representation of government has not represented them well, has felt as though they have been tread upon in some way or another, right? And so a lot of folks leading up to this moment, I think, felt that way. And now there are a lot of folks who didn't feel that way prior to now who feel that way now. And here's the truth of the matter. We live in, the world around us creates empires. It's not the Roman Empire anymore, but there's always going to be power above that wants to control, wants to move us around, wants to manipulate us, wants to force us to move in particular ways, wants to promise us the ability to have power over others if we just buy into the system, right? Whether that's an economic system or a governmental system, whether that's whatever that looks like, there's always going to be powers in this world that promise us these things. And moments where it feels like the world around us is crumbling because we look up and we realize that the things that were supposed to be making us feel powerful now are making us feel powerless. Those are the times that the gospel was written in. Jesus was not a citizen of Rome. Unlike Paul, Paul was a Roman citizen, but Jesus was not. Jesus was one of the occupied people, right? Rome was occupying his hometown. He had no rights other than what Rome benevolently offered him. And so when we are feeling powerless and we hear these words, blessed are the poor in spirit, blessed are the poor, and blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn. Anybody been mourning lately? For they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. You notice, Jesus never took up arms against the Roman Empire, nor did he tell his followers to, even though many of them wanted him to. That wasn't his approach. But blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. He continued to speak truth to power, even though it put him on a cross, right? So he never backed down from the powers and principalities of the world. He didn't take up arms. He didn't become like them, but he continued to challenge them and undermine them wherever he could until that point where they hung him on a cross, killed him, and then he got up again and walked us through the same, becoming the same people, the people who do the same. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Now, we have to read this all together, because if not, we could read this last part. Blessed are those who revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. And then we could use that to justify whatever we want God to be saying. God is on my side, no matter what it is I'm saying. God is on my side, and if you tell me different, well, blessed am I, because you're just persecuting me. And the Christian community, the Christian, the subculture in this country falls into that trap too easily. We start feeling like because other people have rights, other religions have rights, or because other people don't want Christianity pushed on them, that somehow we are being persecuted. That is not persecution, friends. Persecution is when we try to stand up for justice and we're thrown in jail for it. That's persecution, right? You cannot understand what it means to be persecuted for Jesus on Jesus' account unless you read the first of these and recognize that Jesus is talking about the poor, those who mourn, those who are meek, those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, those who are merciful, those who are pure in heart, those who are peacemakers. And in the words of his people, Jesus' people, in Hebrew, that word peace doesn't mean the absence of conflict. It means peace with justice. As we live into times that challenge everything we thought we knew about the way the world worked, and we're confronted by the fact that it never was what we thought it was, the promise was always false, we are reminded, if we allow ourselves to be, we are reminded that there has always been a promise underlying all of it. Good news for everyone. The poor can't always achieve that moment, even just momentarily, that good news that's offered by empire, though some of us can for a moment. But all of us have access to the good news that's offered by Jesus. May we all work our way down the ladder and meet at the foot of the cross so that, as Paul says, we might be lifted up with Christ. Amen.